Amen. Come on and give the Lord some more praise. Yes. Glory. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. How many see that thing up there? The words up there.
Yep.
You ever had one of them moments?
Exactly.
I had a lot of them moments, Sister Brenda. Just this month alone. Where something transpires and you go to yourself, you got to be kidding me. This ain't really happening. But it is. I remember when Brother Andy had his heart attack. I know the first thing came up on his mind is, you got to be kidding me. You were going through what you were going through, Lorraine. You said to yourself, you got to be kidding me. This ain't happening. All of us in here have had one of them moments. When they was talking to you about your platelets, you was probably laying there playing, Lord, you got to be kidding me. You say you got to be kidding me because you've tithed, you've been faithful, you gave your free will offering, you've loved folks that hated you, you've prayed for folks that spitefully used you, you've encouraged people that didn't encourage you back. And here you are, stuck in this situation, and you say to yourself, you have got to be kidding me. Right. Got to be. See, we just going with this going through. I can see you riding in the car going, Lord, you got to be kidding. Sister Charlotte, Elder Charlotte, and all that stuff you just went through. I know there was times you sit back and you look and you says, Lord, tell me you're joking, right? Tell me that none of this is happening. You've got to be kidding me that these things are transpiring in my life. At some time or another, we have all had one of them moments where we have said, you've got to be kidding me. I was listening to that Reverend Green's message last night, the other night, and he was talking about the houses that he was spending too much money, and that was a you got to be kidding me moment. Why am I spending all this money? This thing is supposed to be going great. God, you talked to me, you told me, you set me on this path, so why am I spending all my money and nobody else is doing anything? I remember when Pastor Keys, when he first found out he had diabetes, he just kind of gave me that look when we were standing down front, like, they kidding me, right? Sister, Pastor Arnice, when she was walking around with that big tumor in her stomach, she wasn't saying, you got to be kidding me about that. The kidding me moment came when folks started accusing her of being pregnant. That's when she said, Lord, you got to be kidding me. Among other things. Amen. And so let's look in the Bible. I'm not going to keep you long today. I'm going to try. There are no games on. At 5 o'clock. Whatever. Exodus. I ain't thinking about them. Exodus 3 and 5. We're going to explore different people in the Bible and see their you've got to be kidding me moments. Take, for example, the 5th verse of Exodus, the 3rd chapter. Well, actually, 4. He said I was going to do that. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock of the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. 3 and 1. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame and a fire, and out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside, where am I at? And to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, and God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And I'm sure Moses said, you have got to be kidding me. This is a joke, right, God? This ain't real. Verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Well, we know God's still talking to him all through that, telling him that you are, I am that I am. Then over in the fourth chapter, Moses says the first verse, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto me. God, you want me to go to Pharaoh and tell him that you are that you are, and that you are God of all things, and expect him not to kill me. Tell me you're kidding. You got to be kidding me. You want me to do this. But that's what God wanted him to do. There are things in your life that you have to go through, that you do go through. And you sit back and you wonder within yourself, man, you got to be kidding me. This ain't real. But when you can reach out and touch it, and you can actually see it, and you can feel what's coming back from it, then what you said, you got to be kidding me, it becomes a reality. When it becomes a reality, it changes the whole atmosphere of the circumstance and the situation that you're in. You know, there are things that happen. I got a voice message. I got a voice message a couple weeks ago. Was it last week?
It was last week.
No. Anyway, I got this voice message, and I looked at it, and I was saying, the first thing came out of my mouth, Rev, you got to be kidding me. I said it in a way I was hot. You have got to be kidding me. Now? After all these years? They going to reach out and touch me? You've got to be kidding, Lord. But he wasn't. There it was. You never know what's going to happen in your life that you're not expecting.
So true.
Because if you expected everything that happened in your life, then it wouldn't be a surprise, and there would be no "you got to be kidding me" moment.
Right.
This is what I found out, Pastor Keys. That "you got to be kidding me" moment gives you the ability to move in two places. You can move in the faith with it, or you can move away from faith with it. It opens up a door for you to decide whether it's going to be true or it's going to be false. Moses had decided that he was scared. So God said, well, I'll tell you what, how about I let Aaron be your mouthpiece? And Moses, you got to be kidding me. What's Aaron going to do? So we go on with that. So then we journey up through the Bible again. Where do we stop at? Daniel?
First Samuel?
David. Here you got David. The man of God wants to anoint David. Now all his brothers are fixed up and they doodads and they armor and their array, looking good, standing about 6'2". Some of them probably 6'3", 6'4". And Samuel looking for David. Well, David's out on the back, taking care of the sheep. Ruddy, nasty, smelling like sheep. And whatever beast of the field that he out there fooling with. So they decide they want to go get David. Get David. And bring him in. Because the man of God, Samuel, wants to anoint him. Well, this time, it's not David that says, you got to be kidding me. It's the brothers. When he comes in, and they look at the dad, they look at David, and then they look at Samuel, and they say, Brother Andy, you got to be kidding me. He ain't but a pint size. He dirty. He ain't never picked up a shield too heavy for him. He's never taken a sword. What can he do? You got to be kidding me about this whole situation. But David lets him know, look here. You may think I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding. Because I had already killed a bear. And I done killed a lion. How many lions you done killed? How many bears have you taken out? So who you kidding now? So then we go to another part of the book where Saul's trying to fit David with his armor. Where is that? Samuel. How many folks got it? I got mine marked. You got it up there, Rev? It was different. Anyway, Saul's trying to fit David with his shield and his spear and his leggings and his boots and all this stuff. And all the time, I'm sure David was looking at this stuff, saying to himself, this man gotta be kidding me. I know you don't expect me to wear this. What am I gonna do with it? Just like people want you to attach yourself to them, even though they know that they wrong is two left shoes. For you, that would be one of those, you got to be kidding me moments. But see, the failure with that is, the moment you say you got to be kidding me, you need to leave. Because that you got to be kidding me moment turns into this. Like the little, what are those, bears? The penguins. Nope. I'm going to make my own decision. When you have one of the moments, that's the time you make your own decision.
Right, right.
Because you've already told yourself, you got to be kidding me. This is not happening to me. There's so many different stories in this Bible where men and women of God have found themselves in a situation where they have looked to God and said within themselves, you have got to be kidding me. This is not happening to me. I know I said that when my car got tore up. I was coming across Davidson, and the girl was on the phone, and she made a left turn on a red light, tore up the front of my car. And as I sat there in the car, honest to God, the first thing I said to myself, you've got to be kidding me. It's 2 weeks before Christmas. And I'm about to be without a car. Gotta be kidding. But guess what? He wasn't. Because there I sat in the car that was tore up on the front. What you do, sister? This one of them got to be kidding me moments. That first lady is hilarious. I got this going every which way but up, Rev. I'm just following. I'm sorry. I'm just going. You better sing, baby. Somebody liked the message. You go right ahead. Yes, Lord. Let's look at the life of Mary. One in 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary was exposed to Joseph, before they became together, she was found with child. Read that again. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise. When as his mother, Mary exposed or betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be found with child. The word of here, it means out of, place and time. Here she is with a child. An angel done told her that you're about to be pregnant. And she's thinking to herself, how is this so? Me and Joseph have not had relations. So angel, you gotta be kidding me. You're not gonna do this to me, right? You're not gonna impregnate me when the whole town knows that I have not slept with my husband yet. You're kidding me. You're gonna put me in that position. How many times has somebody on your job, in your home, in the streets, put you in a position that you could only sit back and say to yourself, you gotta be kidding. This gotta be some kind of a joke. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Now see, he finna hide her. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee unto Mary thy wife, for they which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Well, I can only imagine what David was thinking. You shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. In one of the other books, I'm sure it was saying something about how David was bellyaching. Joseph was bellyaching. In his bellyaching, his mouth was shut. How would you like it if you're not the one that committed the thing for your mouth to be shut because you disagree with what God had just did? I'm walking around, can't talk until after the baby is born, saying to myself, you gotta be kidding me. I said, like my wife said, I didn't do nothing. I know you're talking to me under your hand. So, all this stuff is going on, and you wonder to yourself, what is going on? I would just be happy. You know, I've had a couple of those moments this month. Somebody say, well, you tell folks about what you're going through. That's because I can't tell them what you're going through. If I told them what you were going through, then you would get mad. At least if I tell you what I'm going through, you might get some encouragement.
Amen.
And some strength.
Amen.
From
it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Because I have learned this, that I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. What that means is God has enabled me, regardless of what it is that I'm dealing with or going with through, to keep it moving.
That's right. Right.
Amen.
Come on. Amen. Come on, Pastor.
You know, and I get some of the craziest texts. Make my flesh crawl. And I'll look at him and go, you got to be kidding me. Out of all people, you text me this. You need to check yourself from the neck up. And after you do that, go down to your feet to make sure they're right. You gotta be kidding me. I ain't got nothing else to do but listen to this mess. So we go through. Listen to what Paul was first talking about. Anybody got that? What Paul was talking about being scantily clothed, 2 Corinthians? I know I skipped over Peter.
Don't worry, brother.
While you're getting 2 Corinthians, I'll go ahead and talk about Peter. Now here you got Peter and who? John? Stop. They run into a guy that's sitting by the gate beautiful. Yeah. He's sitting by the gate beautiful. Mm-hmm. Lame. Can't walk. They drop him off there every morning so he can beg for alms. The only thing is, he don't get to keep it all himself. Mm-hmm. You have to know that whoever is dropping him off is dropping him off so that they can get part of what he gets. So when they come through there, they're looking, he's begging them for alms. And they look at him and say, look, buddy, silver and gold, we ain't got none of that. But such as we have, we can give it unto thee. And I know the impotent man looked up at him and said, you got to be kidding me. I need money, brothers. I don't need none of the other stuff you're talking about. I need some money. So you got to be kidding me about giving me something else. But you know what they gave him? They gave him life.
Amen.
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 When they give you life, when you can get life out of somebody else's life, it's better than any dime, nickel, or quarter you can possibly get. And you know what he stopped saying? You got to be kidding me. Now he got people in the town hollering. Is this the same guy that was sitting there? You got to be kidding me. Now he's running around talking about this Jesus? You have got to be kidding me. So then you get Paul. Paul's complaining because he's sick of it listening to these guys bellyache about what they've been through and how hard it was and how troublesome it was. And Paul makes a statement, are they ministers of Christ, speak as fools. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure. I'm in prisons. More frequent, in death off of the Jews 5 times, received I 40 stripes, save one, which is against the law because he is a Jew.
Right.
What does that tell you about it? Jews are not supposed to beat Jews, but they didn't give a flying flip. They beat him anyway. And they didn't beat him because they didn't like him. They beat him because he represented Jesus.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
He says, thrice was I beaten with rods, Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. You got to be kidding me. You think you've been through something? In the journey is often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own, listen, by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city. What he's saying is every place I go is somebody that wants my head.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
But I know that in God, man, I'm supposed to be able to do all things that God said. No weapon formed against me, but prosper. So I'm going through all this in these perils of the city, in perils of wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me that you think you're going through something more than what I'm going through.
Come on now.
You got to be kidding me that you think your pain is worse than my pain.
Come on.
You got to be kidding me that you think your heartache is worse than my heartache. You got to be kidding me in the fact that you think you don't have finances. How come I don't have finances? You got to be kidding me about all this stuff. Things have got to change.
Yeah.
I am weariness and painfulness in watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often. He said that fasting often, what he means by that, in times of my life when I wanted to eat and there was nothing to eat. But you will tell me about all you had was some bread today.
My Lord.
And I haven't had bread in months.
My Lord.
You're kidding me, right? In cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, and I still
concerned about you.
Have to do the work of God.
Amen.
That's when you look at God and you say, Lord, you got to be kidding me. You still expect me to pray for the sick.
Yes.
You still expect me to lay hands on the sick. You still expect me to encourage folks that give me trouble. You still expect me
Yes, Lord.
To do the things of God. You still expect me to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. You still expect me to love folks that I know flat out hate me. And pray for them folks that despitefully use me. You expect me to do all this? You got to be kidding me, Mom. I'm real. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. I got to do what I got to do anyway.
Yeah.
So it does not matter. That's where I am today. In spite of it, I got to do what I have to do for God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just week. Who was that? Thursday, ready? I got that call? I think it was Thursday.
Yes.
Get a call Thursday. I look at the phone, get scared not to answer. Because it is the orthopedic surgeon. Now this is a doctor calling me, not the office. He says, Rev, this is Dr. Zimmer, Dr. Z. Now my heart done dropped now because doctors don't call you. So in the back of my mind, I'm saying, oh snacks. What's he calling me for? Maybe he got good news. He says, Rev, I need you to call me in about 2 weeks. I say, for what, Doc? He said, for the simple fact, you have osteoarthritis in your lower spine, in your L5 and your L4, and it has spurs. And the spurs are attacking your nerves in your lower back. That's why you lose your legs, feeling your legs, your feet, and all that stuff is going on. I said, well, I'm going to therapy. He said, no, call me in 2 weeks. I said, why 2 weeks? Then it dawned on me. He's got to confer with some of the other doctors. He said, I got to see how we're going to attack this before it gets any worse. And I get off the phone and I'm sitting on my couch and I said to myself, Lord, Jesus. This is where it comes. Jesus, I'm doing what you called me to do. I'm doing the best I can to fight the good fight of faith. I'm trying to run this race and still have patience in the midst of running it. I give. I pay tithe. I love on your people. And I put up with them that I shouldn't need to put up with. And I get news like this. You have got to be kidding me. This is some kind of crazy joke. It's a joke. And I told my wife yesterday, I'm on the way home, and it was like old Adam had got in my passenger seat. And it was just like it was real as day. That this joker says, oh man of God, why don't you heal yourself? I said, why don't you shut up and turn the stereo up? We got some things going on in our lives that we don't understand. We can't understand how we got there. We don't understand where the heck it came from. All we know is we're standing right there in the midst of it. And we're calling out to God for help. And you say to yourself, well, Lord, what else do you want me to do? And he appoints you to a word that says, after having done all the stand, keep standing. I say, that is not fair. That is not what I was looking for. What I was looking for, when you say you're going to give me a miracle, because I know a miracle means that's when you get down and you accept yourself and interject yourself into the affairs of mankind. Why ain't you giving me a miracle? I know you're a healer. I've seen you heal before. I know you're a healer because you healed me before. So what's the problem, Lord? You've got to be kidding me that you're not going to heal my body this time. That's exactly what he said. Exactly what he said. My grace is sufficient. So I took that and I decided I'm not going to let nothing separate me
my Jesus.
From the love of God.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Back, knees,
yes.
Ankles, amen. Head, nothing. I'm trying to tell you that whatever it is that you're dealing with right now that is attacking your heart, attacking your spirit, attacking your finances, attacking your peace that's in your life, shake it. And if you have to, just lift up your hands in the air and say, Lord, you've got to be kidding me.
Shake it off.
And shake it off and go on about your life. Because if you don't, it will destroy your mindset. It will destroy your heartbeat. It will destroy your walk in God. It will destroy the works that you're doing for the kingdom of God. It will destroy everything that you love the most.
Come on now.
Man, you gotta be kidding me. Turn around and walk away. Don't mean it's gonna go away. But it means you're no longer paying it any attention.
Right. Amen.
Don't have no control. No control, Stephen.
That's right.
Over the life I live
for God.
That's
right. That's right.
Then they tell you, Red, you need to stop bowling. I said, I only got 3 weeks. Got your clue, Opie. It ain't going to stop me from being in pain anyway, so why should I stop doing what I need to do? If that's the case, I shouldn't have preached this morning. That's what they're telling me. But since they ain't going to stop me from preaching, it most certainly ain't going to stop me from bowling. Because I'm a firm believer. Pastor, I taught you that. If you can bowl, you can go to church. So I took that as, if I can come to church, I can bowl. Now, I may not be bowling my best, but you can't say I'm not trying.
That's right.
I had one of them moments yesterday, Sister Tima. Some 3 or 4 strikes through the ball. Getting ready to jump, get excited. Left a 17 split. And I stood on the lane. The guys were standing back there laughing because they knew something was about to happen. I stood there and I looked at it. And I said to myself, you have got to be kidding me. Everybody stand. I think I want to stop having those you got to be kidding me moments. And start having me some thank you Jesus moments. So how do you do that? You replace with you got to be kidding me with thank you Jesus. When it comes into your spirit, you say thank you Jesus. But be honest now. I'm not happy about my situation, but I thank you anyway, Jesus. I'm not excited that I don't have the finance that I need, but I'm going to thank you anyway, Jesus. I'm not thrilled that my life ain't going the way I wanted to go, but I'm going to thank you anyway, Jesus. I'm not happy that I don't have the car that I want to have, but you know what, Jesus? I thank you anyway. Because I do got a car.
Amen.
See,
Amen.
It's our mindset
right.
that controls
right.
how high we go in God.
Amen.
You may be in pain. You may be stressed out to no end. Your heart may be broken. And you can't tell nobody because don't nobody understand. So you have to go to Jesus. Only problem with that is you're not going to get the answer that you want to get. If you go to people, they're going to feel sorry for you. Oh, honey, my poor baby, you'll be all right. When all the time, they could care less. So we go to Jesus. Who is what? The author and the finisher of our faith. So you know what that means in actuality? He's at the beginning of our problem, he's in the middle of our problem, and he's going to be at the end of our problem. So guess what it's not then? A problem. I call it just a slight situation. Just a slight situation. And what's so crazy about it, you can't grow unless you go through those things.
Right.
How many understand that?
Amen.
So when you get one of those, you got to be kidding me moments, just say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Let me pray for you this morning. Won't you come stand across the front?